You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Okay, I've got a lot of questions about the Korea portion of purchased your LA
on, purchased on eBay, and here was the most embarrassing thing for me to admit. So I get him. They come in this bag that looks very like shady, and all the Korean writing on there. And I get the bag and I open them, and I can tell that these DVDs are bootlegged.
You don't say.
In other words, it was somebody watching LA Law on TV and someone else shooting it. But I watched them because I am a super fan.
So here's my question: are these videos in Korean with English subtitles?
Other way around.
Okay, so it's English with Korean subtitles.
Correct.
Yeah, you can't take out the Korean subtitles.
Well, I was hoping I have to like reverse engineer the subtitling.
Yeah.
Where
I hope I still have them. I may have checked them, but if I do, I'll bring them in, and you guys will be like, why did you buy this? I just bought them over the internet. I didn't know.
Better question.
But that's how desperate I was.
Why do you still have them?
You never know.
I never throw stuff away, so I don't know if I still have them. But LA Law was a spectacular show. And by the way, by now, I would imagine that some streaming service has solved this problem.
I want to say it was an NBC show. Maybe it's on Peacock.
Right. Or if like not. Amazon or, you know, Netflix or somebody. I would imagine this was 10 years ago that I went down this rabbit hole. Now I would imagine I could, like I told you, I discovered when I was on vacation that on Samsung there's a Baywatch channel where all they do, I'm not kidding, Trav, all they do from season 1 to season 11, which was Baywatch Hawaii,
okay,
is they start season 1 episode 1 and run them on a loop 24/7. It's on, if you have a Samsung TV, you have to have a Samsung smart TV. They anticipated, the people at Samsung.
I think I do.
Okay, so Trav.
I think I do.
They anticipated cord cutting was coming.
Okay.
Okay. Yep. So what you just got to do is make sure your TV is hooked up to the internet, hit Samsung TV Plus, and you'll see there's like 200 channels. Most of them are channels you would never watch, like the Baywatch channel. But I'm telling you, once you start,
you're not turning it off.
Correct.
You're not turning it off.
So if I'm like, I have this Samsung TV.
I really only need the title sequence. Like the rest of it is fairly irrelevant.
That's on YouTube. I mean, if you just want the title.
Random observations.
Well, it's a compilation.
Random observations about Baywatch from season 1 through season 11. All right. So they bring it on, and and they had all the best intentions. It's about lifeguards saving people on the beach.
Yep. Public service.
Correct. By season 2 and 3, they went, oh, we can put Playboy and Penthouse girls in bathing suits, and they don't need to act, and we can put them in slow motion running on the beach.
And the ratings just started.
And see, Pamela Anderson didn't join until the third season.
I would have got that wrong.
Early Pamela Anderson is spectacular. Like, she's just beautiful. And she can't really act, but it doesn't matter. And once she came aboard and set the formula, that's when you went for Yasmin Bleeth and Tracy Bingham.
I love that you know the cast off the top of your head.
Oh, and okay, so then it evolves. The only guy that's in like season 1
Don't
to season 11
Gina Lee Nolan, by the way,
is Hasselhoff. Yeah, Gina Lee Nolan was a Playboy playmate who marries Hasselhoff at the end of the Baywatch.
I missed that.
But like Sean Weatherly was like Miss USA, and she was on the first season, and she won it out, and they didn't like that she won it out, so they had her eaten by a shark.
Andy, what
bad TV is fantastic, and I'm an expert in it.
What 80s and 90s TV shows are you unhealthily preoccupied
by? Oh, look,
Andy,
look what I sent to Trudell last night. You will totally appreciate this. Some guy on Twitter did a breakdown
Of the Zach Morris.
Zach Morris, AC Slater
fight. We talked about that yesterday.
Okay, yeah.
Hilarious. Yeah. It is hilarious.
And it's like blow by blow back then. That was Trudell's show. He was being saved by the bell.
You get the sense that Zach didn't want any part of that. Zach was not invested in training.
Slater was a wrestler, wasn't he?
Yeah, okay. And strong and fit. Yeah. And
I wrote a piece for The Athletic 3 or 4 years ago about how AC Slater is hands down the most dominant athlete in television history. Like, he was like a 4 or 5 sport athlete.
If you include movies, I've got one that beats him. But no, go ahead.
I'm just talking TV history. Okay. He did in high school.
I got one.
He did football. He did wrestling and basketball. Two sports at the same
time. Isn't he like 5'3"?
He dominated. He dominated anyway.
Defensive specialist.
He did track. He did baseball. He did summer volleyball at the Malibu Sands Beach Club.
Okay.
He was a dancer.
Yeah,
of course.
I mean, he was an exceptionally dominant athlete. I challenge you to find a more dominant television character.
Oh, you should not have challenged me, my friend.
More dominant? Who? Name it.
Charles Jefferson, Fast Times at Ridgemont.
Yeah, but he was a one sport star.
Television.
Right. But he literally had 30 sacks in one game.
Right. But
by the way, you guys remember
hospital?
Yeah. Forrest Whitaker played him, and do you guys remember the reason why he got so fired up?
Oh yeah.
Spicoli wrecked
his
car
with his brother.
And he said, "My dad's a TV repairman. He's got the ultimate set of tools. He can fix it." And they realized he could not fix it, and so they painted his car to make it appear like the rival school trashed his car, and then Charles Jefferson went off.
I'm not taking anything away from Jefferson. He was obviously a dominant
destroyed
football player.
By Jefferson.
But there is no evidence
annihilated
that if
by
you
Jefferson.
Put him in any other sport, that he could perform at a high level. A.C. Slater was, I'd say at one point, dare I say, the most dominant athlete in all of Los Angeles high school sports.
Al, do you have a nominee?
Well, I mean, you know, Al Bundy did have 4 touchdowns
one game.
But that one game
wonder
is a incredible accomplishment.
What about Coolidge from the White Shadow? Didn't he turn pro right out of Carver High?
Didn't he actually, in like real life, become a globetrotter for a period of time?
I went to a Laker game where it was White Shadow night, and all those guys played, and none of them had game.
Not like, even Salami?
No. Salami was a Van Patten.
Yes,
yeah,
he
became a very successful director, I want to say.
Right.
He directed a bunch of episodes of The Sopranos. Yeah. And
like, I thought
that, yeah.
Thorpe and Hayward would have, and they were just shooting bricks. It was unbelievable.
Even Coolidge couldn't play.
No. That's, I mean, he was probably the best one, but he wasn't, Joel Embiid. Yeah, Ken Howard had a little game. I ran into Ken Howard late in his life. He's dead now, but I ran into him at Sports Club LA, and I said, hey, I went to a Laker game once. None of those guys could play. He goes, Bruce Paltrow, Gwyneth's dad, was the guy who created White Shadow. And he said, Bruce worked miracles with those cameras, man, because he goes, a lot of those kids didn't have game.
I was listening to you guys yesterday, and you brought up one of Chris's images, and you said that you and Andy were the only two people to have identified the Colonel. In the open.
So did you know right away where he goes?
I took great offense to that.
Okay,
I got to tell you.
I was driving in Idaho, and it was the day the Lakers schedule came out.
Yes.
And Chris's promo said, you hear Dirk Diggler say, you want to see it? First it's the Colonel. Can I see it, please? You want to see it? Yes, please. And so Chris made that about the schedule. Like, today, Lakers schedule release.
May
you want to see it? I'd like to see it.
Yeah, yes, I just felt like I needed set the record straight that
I tell
very
Morales,
much aware of
any Boogie Nights drop
can't
will
miss.
Make me laugh.
You can't miss. How much do you bench, Andy?
Tell me I look like Han Solo.
You got the touch!
I asked you first.
You know what's great about You Got the Touch? That's actually in the movie. It's a cover. It's actually from, I want to say, Transformers or Voltron, like one of those cartoons from the late 70s, early 80s. That's the theme. And they covered it, like Dirk Diggler, when he was trying to become a musician, trying to become a rock star. You Got the Touch, I didn't realize it till afterwards, is actually a cover of a cartoon theme.
The actual song
yes.
that was on the radio is a cover of a cartoon.
Well, no,
theme?
Okay, no. You Got the Touch. Remember, they do that in the movie Boogie Nights.
Right.
That song, I originally thought they wrote it for Boogie Nights because it feels like a spot-on parody of 80s rock. It's actually either Transformers or Voltron, one of those like robot cartoons. It's the theme from it. So their breakout attempt is a cover of a cartoon theme song.
There, you really like John said, you can't go wrong putting those things in any of the images. The Westbrook thing popped off kind of late yesterday afternoon. All of a sudden, those stories start going all over the place. That it's back on the block. Here we go again. It feels like we were in this spot.
Was he ever not?
Well, there was at least a moment where there was some, hey, let's see if we can make this work. Hey, let's see if we can have the
Or maybe they just maybe there just isn't a good deal out there or whatever the case.
Right. That's what I think, Slee.
You still think there's a chance that what'd you say, Al, 2 weeks camp opens?
So 2.5 weeks, the first preseason game.
And it's starting to leak out that LeBron does his pre-training camp thing, and Cole Swider has a podcast, and he's a rookie, so he doesn't know he's not supposed to say these things yet.
Okay.
But it appears that LeBron's thing is going to be even before that. But I don't think the Lakers care about – I was telling Andy and I were talking about this off the air. I don't think the Lakers care now, nor have they ever cared about appearances. Like, if Russ is on the roster when LeBron's thing opens, Russ goes to the – training camp thing. And if they trade him the next day, that's the way the world works. Keep in mind, the Lakers had Frank Vogel's introductory press conference be the very first time that Rob Pelinka walked in front of a microphone after Magic quit.
Right.
You know, the Lakers just they don't care about appearances. They're just gonna do their job.
Does Russ?
I don't know.
Because maybe the Lakers don't, but maybe Russ does. Like, look, I'm not going to go to this pre-camp thing if this is going to happen in a couple of days.
He went to Patrick Beverley's press conference. He went to Darvin Ham's press conference.
Yeah, but it felt performative.
Well, right, but why wouldn't he go to this
because
thing
now,
you're talking
about? Because if it's imminent, right?
But he likes, I think, discomfort. I think he enjoys the discomfort of everybody around him.
I can respect that.
I know.
if it's just there to see how weird we can make this, I'm okay with
it. You thought it was performative? You thought it was performative?
Yes.
Well, I think he's trying to show that he wants to be a leader and a great teammate.
Yeah, I think more of that. Like, I gave him credit for going. I didn't look at it as a bad thing for going.
Not bad. But I wouldn't go as far as bad, but it felt disingenuous.
I think it's equal parts doing the right thing as a professional, equal parts spite-driven. And they don't have to be mutually exclusive.
Right.
Like, you can be doing the right thing because you want to be a pro, and I think Russ does pride himself on professionalism, very specifically the way he defines it. But there's also a level of stubbornness that's going to be like, F you. You think?
Oh, for sure.
You think I'm not going to show up to this thing? I will be the one guy who shows up to Patrick Beverley's presser,
and
the
everyone
guy
will
he
be
hates
talking
the
about
again,
me.
Again, that feels performative and malicious. Might be one word too far, but watch this kind of element. John, you started to say something. You were listening to something.
You guys were talking about in a supermarket whether you put the dividers in. Yeah. And you say you always do it because as is very much your brand, you don't want to speak to anyone.
This is the period to
okay,
my groceries.
I do it for a completely different selfish reason. I don't want to get charged for any of your crap. All right?
You don't want to buy my apples?
No. I put it there so
that's a fair reason.
For efficiency. I put it down because I don't want the checker like charging me for three things and having to go back. It keeps me there longer. I just put it down to make things
more
efficient.
You're the only one in line. You put your stuff on the belt.
Yeah.
There's nobody behind you.
Okay.
And do you still put the tube there?
Every time.
Okay. Yeah, no.
Because if somebody walks up, I don't want to pay for their crap.
I put the divider down because if somebody walks up, I don't want to have to talk to them.
There
you go. You never know when someone's going to show up.
Okay, does somebody say, you put the divider up, and you do it for your own reasons, does that person behind you typically say, thank you?
I don't think I've ever been thanked for it once in my life.
I get that, and I give that.
Really?
Yeah.
You would live in a very nice neighborhood if people are thanking each other for grocery store.
You and Trev, you may be the most unsocial person I know.
No, that's not right. I am selectively social.
Correct.
I
don't know anyone else who is. You either are or you aren't.
No. I've socialized with you. We had a great time.
Right.
I went to a very large event last Saturday afternoon. Had a great time.
But I'm saying
socialized with everybody.
In public settings where you're not required to socialize, you have no interest in doing it.
That's true.
Yeah. I just think it's easier to get through the day that way.
No, I'm not going out of my way to ignore people. I'm just not engaging on purpose.
You might be going out of your way to ignore people.
You, maybe Trav, some people. Trav, you're on a Southwest flight.
Yeah.
Okay? you're at the window seat.
I already know the answer.
Somebody comes and sits in the aisle, like not even right next to you, but sits in the aisle. You make eye contact. You say anything?
No.
What?
You don't say hello. You don't say hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Just a hello.
Oh, if you said that to me?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you would never initiate.
Never.
Why not?
Why?
Just like a
honest answer to this. Yeah. And I know you're married.
Hi, how's it going?
Attractive woman. Does that change it?
I would probably say, how are you doing?
Yes, today? Exactly. Yeah, that's I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Because, you know, it's a long flight. I might want to have a little bit of a conversation.
If she wasn't cute, you wouldn't.
No, if you sat down next to me and we looked at each other and you just kind of gave me a little head nod, I'd give you the head nod, and then we're going to fly to Phoenix in silence.
I don't know if you guys have told this story before. We used to have a guy that worked here named Rob Novak, and he was impossibly talkative, all right, sales guy. So one time, Mason and I are on a flight to Vegas. Have you heard the story, Trav?
I haven't.
We're on a flight to Vegas.
Did you know Novak?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a talker.
Yeah. So Lakers are playing. They're going to play two games in Vegas again this year. So at that time, I don't know if we're going to do it this year, but at that time, because we have the Lakers on our station, our whole sales staff, most of the marketing people, everybody flew out to Vegas to be part of these two games in Vegas.
Okay.
And it's a Southwest flight, and Mason's on the window, and I'm on the aisle. And Novak is walking down the aisle, and Mason goes, oh, crap. Here comes Novak. And I look at him, and Mason goes, he's going to want to sit here. I know it. I go, just relax. And sure enough, like almost like it's a bit in an SNL skit, Novak walks by. Hey guys, how are you? Only middle seats left. Do you mind? And he makes a step over me to. And so he's
doesn't
one,
even let you get out of.
He's
the seat?
One step in into my space, and Mason goes, "Yes, I mind." And Novak goes, "Excuse me." He goes, "This seat is taken." And Novak goes, "By who?" He goes, "By her." And he points to the woman behind Novak, who he does not know. And the girl goes, wow, thanks.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin. And the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time. But they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi. So you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bah! Ah! Hey, it's Mason in Ireland. Welcome, welcome. Glad you're here. Andy Kamenetsky in for Mace. I'm John Ireland. How great is it to be an American citizen in 2022 when you get not just a football game on Thursday night, but Chiefs Chargers on a Thursday night debut game for Amazon? I'm to steal a line, Andy. I'm proud to be an American.
America ain't perfect, but it's pretty damn close tonight.
This is what an opener for Amazon. It's like the NFL knew what they were doing. They got a bunch of money out of Amazon. And they said, okay, let's throw them one of the best games of the year. Chargers at Chiefs.
You think they have a Trader Joe's in Kansas City?
By the way, I don't know what Morales is talking about. I've been to Trader Joe's a bunch of times. He must be confusing me with somebody else.
There was some stuff going around yesterday that you said you'd never been to a Trader Joe's. I didn't hear that.
No.
Apparently,
like Chris said, there's a Trader Joe's right by my house.
That feels impossible. Like, particularly living in LA.
I was in there a week and a half ago.
I've never been to Trader Joe's.
So maybe that was it.
How
he's confusing you and me. I don't know. Not
Jorge.
Not my thing. There's nothing for me there.
What do you mean there's nothing for you there? There's food.
There's no Trader Joe's around me anyway.
Oh, well, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, never been to Trader Joe's.
Come by me. There's plenty.
Nah, you're too far.
All right, so by the way, so Chargers Chiefs, these games last year were great.
Yeah.
The Chargers won the first game by 6, the second game went overtime, and Kansas City pulled it out. Who wins tonight, Andy, at KC?
I think it's Kansas City.
favored by four.
They looked really good in that opener against Arizona.
So the Chargers.
I know, but I think Arizona is a good defense that they shredded. That is a hard place to go on the road. It's short preparation for the Chargers, who I think are at more of a disadvantage. Like, the Chargers are good. Don't get me wrong. I think they're a legit good team. I could see them losing but covering the spread, like losing by a field goal, but I do think they're going to lose.
Greg, who wins tonight, Chargers or Chiefs?
Chiefs. Chiefs are the better team overall. I think as much as the Chargers did look pretty good against the Raiders, they were not able. They almost lost it at the end of the game. The Raiders had a chance to win that game. I don't think the Chiefs are going to allow that to happen.
Give me $30,000 on the Chiefs, actually.
Okay, so all you guys, all you guys are on the Chiefs, and you're laying the four.
Yeah, on the four.
But you're due to lose, man. You've won so many.
No, he wins everything.
$30,000.
Go with him.
So that's interesting that you guys have all picked the Chiefs. You remember James Jones, one of Brett Favre's favorite wide?
Yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers.
Raider for a short time.
I don't know if he ever played with Favre. I know he played with Rodgers. But he was on First Things First, the Fox show with Nick Wright and, you know, all those guys. And James Jones completely I think the Chiefs are going to win too. But James Jones completely disagrees with all of us. Listen to this.
For the Kansas City Chiefs, the Chiefs is in trouble.
What?
Right? This Chargers team.
So you're picking the Chargers?
100%. This Chargers team is built to beat Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes is not going to be back there like he was in this Arizona Cardinals game with a cup of coffee and a Krispy Kreme donut. Ooh. Khalil Mack and Bosa are coming. This is the game to where we're going to be talking about this next week, and we're going to say they might need Tyreek Hill. Because this is the game to where those receivers are going to get challenged. The ball's going to have to come out fast. Derwin James always plays Travis Kelce well when it's man-to-man, makes it hard on him. He is a great player, so is Travis Kelce, but they always battle. So now we are going to see, can Sky Moore, can Juju, can MVS.
You don't think they can?
Win the one-on-one matchups.
You don't think they can?
We are going to find out.
All right, Andy Z, does any of those points change your mind at all?
Maybe if the Chargers were at full strength, but they're not going to have Keenan Allen. That's a really big deal for Justin Herbert trying to get that offense going. I think J.C. Jackson, that defensive back, I'm pretty sure.
Questionable for an
Yeah, so they're going to need everybody to make this thing happen. Again, I think the Chargers are really good. If you're asking me if I think it's possible that the Chargers could end up seeing the Chiefs in the playoffs and beating them, I actually think that is possible. If you're asking me what's going to happen tonight, I think the Chiefs are going to win.
You know, James Jones didn't actually say who he thought was going to win. He just gave reasonings.
No, he said in the beginning, they said, you're taking the Chargers. He said 1,000%.
Okay, I missed that beginning. Yeah. Because he was just saying, we're going to have to see.
No. He's all in on the Chargers. I think it's a tall order for the Chargers to go in there and win. Mike Williams is going to have a big night. And I think they'll be able to isolate on Mike Williams, Andy, because of what you said, because Keenan Allen's out of the game. So they can double Mike Williams and make somebody else beat him. And it's going to be a huge test for Justin Herbert. By the way, okay, if I gave you, I say, you're a GM, okay? You're an NFL GM. You can have Patrick Mahomes or Justin Herbert for the next 10 years. Keep in mind, Mahomes is, I think, 3 years older than Herbert. But so they're both going to still be in the league for the next 10 years. Who do you want?
Ooh, that is hard.
Bergman, who do you want?
I hate to say it because he's a Charger, but I want Justin Herbert.
Jorge?
Yeah, Herbert.
I think I'm going Justin Herbert.
I think you guys are all underrating Mahomes, and I love Herbert. I drafted Herbert before Mahomes in fantasy football this year.
It's purely the age, though. If I'm going the next 10 years, Mahomes has 10 years of running, getting those hits, getting older. Age is the big thing. It's not underrating Mahomes.
Just how great is this matchup on a friggin' Thursday in week two? I mean, you can't.
Well, this is how you get people who haven't already gotten Amazon Prime, people that don't change their habits. This is how you get them to go over.
There's a cheat tonight, though, people. There's a cheat. And it's only because the Chargers are based in Los Angeles. Tonight, for the rest of the season, if you want to watch these Thursday night games, you've got to get Amazon Prime like Andy's talking about. By the way, if you have Amazon Prime, you get this for free. You just have to sign up for it on your TV. Or you can watch it on your tablet or your computer or whatever you want. But tonight, because the Chargers are a Los Angeles-based team, they're going to simulcast the game on Channel 11. So you can watch the game tonight on Channel 11. But to Andy's point, starting next Thursday, because there's no Chargers, no Rams, you're going to have to Prime.
This is a game that would have appeal to fans beyond the L.A. market.
Right.
So, again, this is how you get people in. You make it seem like you can't miss this.
Well, I'm not missing it. My wife's got a tennis thing tonight. I've got the whole house to myself. I've already told my son we're ordering pizza. I'm camped out in front of the TV. I'm like a pig in slop.
And then you get home and get the tennis gossip when Lisa gets back.
Especially when these parties happen. And they're all going to Top Golf. So you know one of them, or more than one of them, is going to go off. My night is perfect, no matter what happens. All right, coming up next, Chris Paul has responded to what happened yesterday with Robert Sarver. And remember, Chris Paul plays for the Suns, the team that Sarver owns. Very interesting what he said. We'll get to that next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
All right, today it's Andy Kamenetsky in Ireland. And yesterday the big story was Robert Sarver was suspended for a year and fined $10 million basically for being a bad guy. The NBA did an investigation, and for 18 years he's been misogynistic and racist, and They had several examples of it, and how they didn't come up with a better suspension than the one they did is surprising. A lot of like veteran NBA writers have come down and just dropped the hammer on Adam Silver. But one guy had it right. I think it was David Aldridge, said he's got a year now. What he did yesterday, Adam Silver, was he bought himself a year to try and make this punishment the right one. And so, as Ramona said when she was here the other day, Andy, this may not be over yet.
I don't think it's over. I mean, there's actually something Brian and I talked about on today's Locked On Lakers, the podcast we do 5 days a week.
Yeah, by the way, how do people get that?
You can get it, John. Glad you asked. Anywhere you get your podcast, there's also a YouTube component that you could subscribe to as well. But that was one of the points that we made. We went through this whole thing and talked about it from different angles. But the idea that Adam Silver... Assuming he would like to see Sarver out, or thinks Sarver being out is the right thing to do, he is putting them in a situation where reaction can build and outrage can build, and there can be a pressure campaign where it becomes eventually untenable for Robert Sarver to actually continue owning this team.
That's, you took me down the road where I wanted to go. And tell me if this is enough to make things untenable, or if there has to be more action to it. Remember when Donald Sterling had the tapes came out, the Vistaviano tapes came out, and the players turned their jerseys around and threatened not to play. And it almost worked in terms of not playing. They were very close. And at the last minute, I think Doc Rivers convinced Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, hey, don't ruin your season over him. The legal deal with him, and then the league did. Chris Paul yesterday, everybody's been asking, why has Chris Paul and Devin Booker been so quiet? And they really didn't want to bite the hand that feeds them. You know, obviously, if they come up and be critical of Robert Sarver, he can move them out of there and break up what they think is a championship roster. So Chris Paul yesterday tweeted this, quote, like many others, I reviewed the report. I was and am horrified and disappointed by what I read. This conduct, especially towards women, is unacceptable and must never be repeated. I am of the view that the sanctions fall short in truly addressing what we can all agree was atrocious behavior. My heart goes out to all the people that were affected. End quote. Is him just putting it out there enough? Or, Andy, does he have to take the next step and say publicly and on the record, look, I don't want to play for this guy. And if he's going to be the owner, I want to be traded. Wouldn't that start the drumbeat of getting Sarver out?
It certainly could. I mean, it could get some momentum going. I think in some respects, Chris Paul may be reluctant to do that because once you put that out there, you start putting your teammates in a position that they may not be comfortable with, particularly.
But their teammates aren't going to the Hall of Fame like Chris Paul.
Right, but that's the advantage that Chris Paul has. Like, Chris Paul has the cover of, I'm already a Hall of Famer. I've already made my money many times over. Some of these other guys don't have the luxury of being able to pick and choose, and then they get put in a position of either having to take Chris Paul's side and doing some type of boycott, or being looking like the guy that's the sellout, that's willing to play for the racist misogynist. The truth is, this shouldn't be on Chris Paul or any of the other players. This should be on the owners. They're the ones with the most power.
But wait a minute. But didn't they, wasn't that yesterday the owners failing to do the right thing? Adam Silver was a representative of the owners.
Yeah.
And Adam Silver's very well liked and has, to this point, been an excellent commissioner.
Yeah.
But the consensus is by most players in the league and most NBA media that covered the league that he missed this one.
He did miss it. I mean, he missed it in the way he talked about it. In a lot of respects, his hands are tied.
I know. But what I'm saying,
he failed the presser. I don't know if he failed necessarily
all of the
punishment.
I agree with everything you're saying. But my question is, if Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton, and Devin Booker came out jointly and said, we understand that Adam Silver works for the owners and his hands are tied and he's restricted, but we feel strongly enough about this as the leaders of the Phoenix Suns that we don't want to play for this guy. We think he's racist. We think he's a misogynist. And if the NBA doesn't want to throw him out, then we need to move on. We don't want to be. And if they all of a sudden were faced with basically kneecapping one of their own franchises and making them a doormat to save Robert Sarver, I think it goes the other way.
Oh, look, if you're asking me if I think that would create pressure, the answer is absolutely yes. I'm just saying it's more complicated than that, because that's an obvious approach that somebody like Chris Paul or Devin Booker or DeAndre Ayton could do.
Right.
But it's really complicated when you start unpeeling the layers of doing that and what it actually means, not for those guys or even the NBA, but other players around the league.
Like, let me tell you how I think that would end, all right, if they did that. If Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton, and Devin Booker came out together, the three of them, who are the three best players on the Suns, and they said, we respect the process. We know the NBA tried to do the right thing here. We think the one-year suspension and the $10 million fine is a step in the right direction. But, you know,
and just
I think
Devin
Booker is biracial, but yeah. DeAndre Ayton and Chris Paul are black. Monty Williams, their head coach, is black. James Jones, their GM, is black. If they were to come out and say, we know the league did the right thing. We know they tried to get this guy, and they're limited in what they can do. But we don't have to play for him. And if he is our owner of record, we're out.
Okay.
What's the next thing that happens after that?
Well, I mean, one of the questions I guess you'd have to face if you're one of those guys is, are you willing to play for another owner who won't push Robert Sarver out?
I think my answer would be, if I'm Chris Paul, we just don't want to play for him.
So you'll take the check from the owner who is willing to put up with this racist misogynist, just not the racist misogynist.
I disagree with your premise. I'll go play for Jeannie Buss, who's not a racist and not a misogynist.
So you can only go to, say, three or four teams. DeAndre Ayton, by the way, can't get traded until January. So he's sitting until January.
Right. I'm saying it's a radical step.
Oh, no, it is radical. And again,
and it almost happened. You talk to guys that run that Clipper team. You talk to Matt Barnes. You talk to Blake Griffin. They were really close.
I know they were really
close.
They were super close.
And they were assured, look, play, and we'll handle this.
Right, but that,
but now the NBA has already quote unquote handled it, and they handled it poorly.
They did.
So is it on the player? I would compare this to, you know, we've all been watching Legacy and we've all been watching Winning Time.
Yeah.
As soon as Magic Johnson came out and said, I don't want to play for Paul Weston anymore. He's not my kind of coach. I'll just go play somewhere else. Jerry Buss said, no, you won't. See you, Paul. I actually think, Greg, that if they did that, if Ayton, Paul, and Booker said, we don't want to play for this guy, I think Robert Sarver would voluntarily sell the team.
Voluntarily?
I do.
I don't think he'll voluntarily.
Not voluntarily.
Nobody is voluntarily selling
anything. Donald Sterling
didn't
voluntarily sell the team. The minute you put people like Robert Sarver or Donald Sterling in a corner, that's where they start fighting back. That's the last thing you want to do to make this smooth is try to corner them.
The NFL did this with Jerry Richardson, and he finally said, the evidence is too overwhelming, I'll get out.
But he was also old towards the end. I mean, Jerry Richardson, I think, was going to be getting
out
at some
point anyway.
But Robert
Sarver really would want to burn his franchise to the ground before he would sell?
If he thinks it's not going to be his franchise at any point anyway, why not?
Because he's a minority owner. Well, the other owners, he owns like 38% of the team. The people that own 62% should come to him and go, hey, man, look.
But that's my point, though. It should be on those guys ahead of the players. The players don't
You're not
have-
wrong, but it's... If the players don't do what I'm suggesting, doesn't this just fade away in 2 weeks?
It's a big thing to put those three guys, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and DeAndre Ayton, who, again, can't be traded until January. So DeAndre Ayton at that point is saying, I'm sitting and missing half of my game checks until I do this because I can't get moved anywhere anyway because I just signed that offer sheet.
Right.
So you're putting these guys in a really difficult position. Again, you're also putting the lesser players in a position of having then to either play for Robert Sarver, the misogynist racist, or put their careers in jeopardy, you know, put their finances that haven't been completely laid out in jeopardy.
Yeah, it's a fair point. I just wonder if this is all Chris Paul's going to do is say, I am of the view that the sanctions fell short in truly addressing what we can all agree was atrocious behavior. If that's as far as he's willing to go, criticize it but not act on it, I think he's fallen short. I just think that Adam Silver, as you put it, his hands were tied. Players,
he could have given a longer suspension.
Yeah, it's a players' league. And if these players get proactive here.
It's a players' league, but it's still an owners' league, John.
Yeah.
It's still an owners' league, man.
All right, coming up, Wheel of Questions is next. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, let's see what we got. Oh, I was hoping this would come up. Okay. Now, in order to explain this story, I'm going to go to my TV news background, Andy. It appears that two students at the University of Utah, mm-hmm. women, came to last week's football game in body paint and nothing else. Here is a news report from a television station in Salt Lake City that gives more details. Hit it, Jorge.
Well, the University of Utah says police are now investigating an incident at this weekend's football game where two women went topless in front of thousands of people. News specialist Shara Park joins us live from Rice-Eccles Stadium tonight with the story. Shara?
Yeah, Ashley, this incident drawing frustration from a lot of Utah fans who want to know why the university or security didn't stop these two women at the gate as they started to enter. Now, I do want to warn you that we do have images, some photos of these women we're going to show you, but they are blurred in certain areas. Now, this incident, as you mentioned, happened this weekend at the game against SUU here at Rice-Eccles Stadium. Several witnesses jumping online saying that they saw the two women outside the stadium topless, wearing body paint on their chests. Others saying they saw the women walking through security and sitting in their seats. Local YouTuber, family advocate, and Utah alumni Malia Johnson was at the game with her husband and two children and says she stood about 10 feet behind the topless women as they walked in. She says she went to security, who claimed they couldn't do anything about it, so she shared her frustration on Instagram.
A Utah football game is supposed to be a safe, family-friendly environment. There were thousands of children there. And I think for me, the issue about this and why I shared about it to create some noise, to create awareness about this in the first place, was because this is not a gender issue. This is not a discriminatory or discriminatory issue. This is about lewdness against minors.
All right, there it is. Two women walk in, body paint. Now, it looks, the body paint looks like clothing. So I can see how they walked in and people,
clothing adjacent, yes.
Yeah, people didn't realize they didn't have clothes on. My question to the three of you, now that you've heard the details of this story, Bergman, I'll start with you. Harmless or obscene? What do you think?
It's completely harmless. There, people go around wearing body paint. This is nothing. I mean, you're covered. There's not anything that is actually showing. It's basically the same thing as clothing. I don't have any problem with it, and I wouldn't even, like, if
you
Riley
wouldn't
was walking
describe
with
it
me,
as lewdness against minors?
No, I wouldn't
as say the
anything.
Father of a minor?
Yeah, I do have a father of, I am a father of a minor. Riley, if she was with me and that was happening, I would just be like, okay. I don't think she would even say anything. She wouldn't even know.
Jorge, harmless or obscene?
Harmless. I saw the picture of these women. Those women weren't showing anything, man. It's all body paint and...
Andy, how old is your daughter?
She is 11.
11. Do you declare this is lewdness against minors or harmless?
It is harmless in the most literal sense that I don't think anybody was actually harmed. This woman who's upset.
She claims it's lewdness against minors.
I mean, look, I will say this, and I think all of us will agree, that if it were a man in full body paint.
There's plenty of that there, by the way.
No. Full body paint.
And nothing else.
And nothing else.
A little different.
We'd all move towards lewd. Let's be honest.
Well, that's different.
But that's not what happened here.
I know.
Let's be clear about that.
I know. I think it is ultimately harmless. It's inappropriate in the sense that it's not what you're supposed to be doing. And we know that because these women in question immediately put on their shirts when the ushers came to them, as opposed to trying to make some type of, like, First Amendment argument.
Yeah, we all need to relax about...
But it's harmless.
Right. I mean, like Greg said, this body paint looks like they're clothed. I mean, it's a
I wouldn't go that far. Everybody knew they were in body paint.
I don't know.
But you're covered.
No, the whole point of the swimsuit issue that they used to do in the body paint is you knew how close you were pushing the nudity in the body paint.
But it was in the magazine.
Right, but
so
that's
made it fine.
No, I know it's fine, but I'm saying that's the point of the body paint.
It wasn't behind all of the other magazines in a paper bag with
again,
the black on the front of it.
It's harmless. These minors in question, they're going to be fine. They're going to be just fine.
Okay, in a related story, Andy, I think you found this one. Did you guys see this story about the Motley Crue concert where Tommy Lee, who has been in the news lately because he was in that Pam and Tommy miniseries. But Tommy, the Motley Crue has been doing racy shows for 30 years.
Yep.
And one of the things that they'll do is they will stand up and tell people to show off their you-know-whats.
Mm-hmm. With no body paint.
Yeah. And so a fan at a San Francisco Motley Crue show, a guy named Juan Alvarez and his sister were at a concert Wednesday at Oracle Park. That's where the Giants play. A YouTube video shows Tommy Lee asking the crowd to expose their genitals. Alvarez was shocked and said it was traumatizing not only for him, but for children who witnessed the naked body parts on the Jumbotron. So there's a theme here. Lewdness against minors. And Tommy Lee responded with, after this guy complained, quote, "The world is too soft. Been doing this blank for years, Karen. I mean Juan. Grow the F up. Are you team Juan or team Tommy, Andy?"
100% team Tommy in this one. You've got 30-something years, like 40-something years of who Motley Crue are and what they do. Caveat emptor, man. Let the buyer beware. Like, if you're bringing a minor, like a young minor, to a Motley Crue concert, frankly, you're the one that should have, like, child protective services called on you, not Motley Crue. They're just doing their thing.
Bergman, what do you think?
Yeah, it's the same. I'm with Andy. Like, you know what you're going into when you go to a Motley Crue concert. Like, that's just part of it. You have to expect it.
Jorge, you got any problem with Tommy Lee telling the people to expose themselves?
I'm with the guys. You know yeah. what you're buying.
It seems like you don't have to go to the Motley Crue concert. Now, at least in the case of the woman who was complaining about the football game, you don't expect to see nudity at a football right. game. I could see why she was surprised. I didn't have an issue with it, but I understand her complaint. I don't understand the complaint of this guy at all. Had he never... Had he done no research on
Motley Crue? Did he wander into
the
wrong concert?
Right. It'd be like going into an X-rated movie and saying, I am shocked there is nudity in this movie.
The X-rated movie could have Tommy Lee in it.
Right. I mean, the show...
so true.
The show Pam and Tommy had a scene where he's actually talking to his you-know-what.
We've all seen Tommy's junk. Like, it was famous. Like, his junk was a scandal in and of itself.
It just seems very, very odd.
Yeah,
that complaint came up, but I think people are getting all too worked up about this. You know, if you don't want to see Motley Crue naked, don't go to a Motley Crue concert.
Or people at a concert naked.
Yeah, and it's like the same complaint happens a lot. I worked in TV for 30 years, and people would call the station and say, "I can't believe that racy show is on. Why do you guys air that show?" And I would say to people, if I answered the phone after hours, I said, "Well, you know, ma'am, you can turn the channel or you could turn the show off." Well, that's not the point. Well, kind of is
the
you know
point.
You're not required to watch something that offends you.
This is my thing. If you market something directly towards children, you have a responsibility to make it appropriate for children. If something is not directly marketed to children, it can be whatever the hell you want it to be, and it is up to the parent of the child to do the parenting. It's not up to a television show or a rock star or a movie or whatever to raise your children for you.
Yeah, I agree with that. And again, in the case of the Motley Crue concert, you went into their environment, and their environment has been consistent.
If you go into a Motley Crue concert and all you see are flash genitals, in some ways, like, you got off easy.
Yeah.
They've got a pretty long
track record of being more racy than that. That's for sure. All right, coming up next, we've got the big Thursday night football game, Chiefs-Chargers tonight. How important are the announcers when you watch a game? Do the announcers make the game, or does the game make the announcers? We'll get into that next. Andy and for Mace, I'm John Ireland, ESPN LA.